Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this second Sunday of Easter to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you here out on this second Sunday of Easter. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to see all of you who are visiting with us as well. Mr. Harrison, it's good to see you with us again here this morning. Welcome, and welcome to all of you who are gathered here. Just a couple of announcements to make. First of all, I just want to say thank you for all of those who were here yesterday for the community. Actually, it was a citywide cleanup, and a number of you were here and helped to spruce the place up. I apologize. I was not able to be here. I had gotten the dates wrong and had scheduled something else for the morning, but thank you again for all of you who were here and for all the work that was done sprucing the grounds up. So a shout out to all of you. Just want to remind you all to please continue to go to our website to stay abreast of what is happening at Alney Presbyterian Church. We continue to have our Bible study on Wednesday nights. Please come out and join us. We are still reading the book Meeting Jesus at the Table. So please come out and be with us. And we have a good time there. 6:30 on Wednesdays. Be there. Come out and share and fellowship and study with us.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 and 22 through 32, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 948. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will dwell in hope. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let thy Holy One see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may say to you confidently of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, which can be found just three pages back on page 945 of your pew Bibles. On the evening that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. Friends, thanks for being here this morning. We are still in Eastertide this morning. We still have several weeks of Easter left, so we are grateful that we are able to be here this morning and to celebrate the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. We are grateful to be here this morning, basking in the glorious afterglow of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We acknowledge this morning that the resurrection is one of the central doctrines of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, everything else falls apart. We are gathered here this morning because we recognize that without the resurrection, there would be no church. Without the resurrection, there would be no followers of Christ. Everything is contingent upon the stunning good news that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. This Sunday, of course, is the second Sunday of Easter, and during this Sunday, we always read from the Gospel of John, and this Sunday, we are reminded of something that we often quickly overlook when we talk about the resurrection. But one of the things that we are reminded, and one of the things that we believe in and that we profess, is that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Contrary to popular belief, even sometimes contrary to popular Christian belief, we Christians have always maintained the importance of the body. We've always maintained that bodies are important, and we've always maintained that we believe that one day our bodies will be resurrected. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And that's why I like our passage this morning from John's gospel, because John helps us to recognize that. John helps us to live into that. We all know the story that all of the Lord's disciples came into Jerusalem with them. All of them ran and scattered when he was arrested. All of them knew that he was crucified and that he was dead and buried. They all knew that. But then they heard the stunning good news from Mary. They heard the news that the tomb was empty and that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. And yet, we find that they are all of them together in the upper room, all of them behind locked doors, all of them living in fear despite having heard the good news. They have heard it, but not any of them have not seen it. Only Mary has seen it, and it must have seemed like it was something just too incredible to believe. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. But then we are told that as they are behind their locked doors, that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, comes to them. He makes it behind their locked doors and he greets them and bids them peace and blows the Spirit upon them, but he comes to them. He comes to his disciples and presents his resurrected body to them. And one of the things I've always appreciated about John's gospel is that John takes the trouble to show us that the resurrected Lord is not a ghost. He is not a phantom. He is not some kind of disembodied spirit that has come back from the dead. But John tells us that the resurrected Lord still has his body. The same body that is like your body and my body. The same body that got hungry and thirsty. The same body that got tired and needed rest. The same body that was wounded and scarred. That's the body that God raised from the dead when God raised Jesus. That's the body that has come to present himself to his disciples. In many ways, we are told that Jesus' body is a transformed body. It is a different body. Sometimes those who are close to Jesus were not able to recognize him. Sometimes he's able to do things that maybe he couldn't do before, like make his way through locked doors, but it's still the body that was crucified, the body that still has its scars and its wounds. Jesus has still got his body. And we are told that what God has done for Jesus, God has promised to do one day for all of us. That is to resurrect our bodies. And that is what we believe. We believe in the resurrection of the body. Of course, we affirm that every first Sunday of the month when we recite together our Apostles' Creed. We affirm that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Several years ago, one of the children asked why we have to recite that every month, why we have to recite the Apostles' Creed every month. And it was a good question for a child, but we do it. We recite it monthly. We do that to fortify ourselves, to discipline ourselves against the constant encroachment of a secular world that finds that hard to believe. Indeed, there are even many Christians who find it hard to believe. And so month after month, sometimes I think we perhaps need to do it week after week. We need to remind ourselves that resurrection is not just some spiritual hope that we have for ourselves, but resurrection is about our bodies. We believe in the resurrection of the body. Because that's what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The tomb was empty. He was not there. He had risen from the dead. His body had risen from the dead. The only thing that was left there were the clothes, the shrouds that wrapped his body, because he had risen from the dead. None of our creeds, of course, were designed to be exhaustive pedagogical tools that tells us everything about our faith. But our creeds are all polemical. That is, they were designed to answer some points of contention that were within the church. And one of the heresies that the church had to deal with from the very beginning was an over-spiritualization of Christian hope. There are many variants of the heresy, but it usually went something like this. It went, you know, that the material world is bad, maybe even evil. The material world is filled with all kinds of suffering. It is filled with all kinds of pain. It is filled with decay and death, and no God worth his salt would have anything to do with the material world. No God worth his salt would have anything to do with the world filled with decay and death, and the only thing that God is concerned about is the spirit. And because our bodies are a part of the material world, then God wouldn't have anything to do with our material bodies as well. God doesn't care anything about our bodies. Our bodies are just a husk. Our bodies are just an encasement. Our bodies are something that are to be thrown away. God doesn't care anything about our bodies. But the church has always maintained something else. The church has always insisted that bodies matter. That God cares very much about our material bodies. Our bodies are wonderful, wonderful gifts from God. Gifts from God that ought to be revered and respected and honored. You know, someone likened our bodies to a living cathedral. And I was thinking of that the other day. I was reading a couple of days ago about the cathedral, Notre Dame's cathedral in Paris. You might remember a few years back, it caught fire as workers were working on it and it accidentally set it on fire. Most of the cathedral was saved, but the spire that could be seen from all over Paris was totally destroyed. It had totally burned up. And so workers and carpenters have been working to replicate the original spire, and they hope to have it finished so that the cathedral can be reopened in 2024. But it's an iconic cathedral, a grand cathedral, a majestic cathedral, and our body, someone said, is kind of a living cathedral. It's what the Apostle Paul says, that our bodies are a temple. Our bodies are important. What we do with our bodies matter, because our bodies matter. Of course, we realize that our bodies are imperfect. We realize that our bodies sometimes grow frail. We're vulnerable. Our bodies do decay. We get older. We develop sickness and disease. We sometimes find that we can't do things that we perhaps once were able to do. We discover that things hurt us today that might not have hurt 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Some of us can't do the things we might have been able to do just a few years ago. We might not be able to walk as well as we were able to walk a few years ago. We may be battling some kind of chronic illness that has come upon us. Our bodies, yes, are weak and frail. I saw Ronnie Coleman the other day on the internet. You may not know who Ronnie Coleman is, but Ronnie Coleman was a legendary bodybuilder, won 8 Mr. Olympia titles. I mean, everybody wanted to look like Ronnie Coleman. I mean, he was big, he was ripped, he was powerful. If you wanted to be a bodybuilder, you wanted to look like Ronnie Coleman. He had the most magnificent body. But then he developed complications resulting from his competition. Today he's only 58 years old and he's had 13 surgeries. He's not paralyzed, but he's immobile in many respects, has to walk with crutches and in a wheelchair, not the person he once was. And none of us are the people we were a few years ago. We grow frail and our bodies are vulnerable. And one day we are reminded that we will die. One day our bodies will die. We will be buried. We will die. And yet we Christians have always said that death is not the last word. Death is not the last word, not because God is simply concerned with our spirit, but death is not the last word because we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that one day after we are dead and buried, one day in God's own future, one day God will raise our bodies, one day God will give new life to our bodies. We believe in the resurrection of the body. These bodies that God has gifted us with, these marvelous bodies, we don't know what the resurrection will be like. We don't know what those resurrection bodies will be like, but they will be new bodies. They will be new bodies for God's new future. We believe in the resurrection of the body. That's always important. Because we Christians know that God cares about our physical bodies. And so we've always been concerned as followers of Christ about our bodies. We've always been concerned about how we relate to each other with our bodies. We have always been concerned about how we engage with each other with our bodies. We have always been concerned about what happens to our bodies. It's because we understand the importance of bodies that Christians went out into the world and developed the first hospitals to care for sick, because we believed that bodies were important. It's because we were concerned about bodies that Christians went out and were concerned about feeding those who didn't have enough to eat. It was Christians who were concerned about that because we believe in the importance of the bodies and making sure that people's bodies were well nourished. We've always been concerned about things that happen to the body, about violence that is done to the body. We Christians have always been concerned about the bodies because we believe in the resurrection of the body. Every once in a while, someone will come and say, you know, you Christians need to stick to spiritual things. You just need to make sure you stay involved with spiritual matters. And I've always never really understood that. But I always respond whenever I hear that is, we believe in the resurrection of the body. We Christians are involved in the world because we believe that bodies are important. We are involved in the world because we believe that God cares about what happens to us. We believe that God cares about what happens to our bodies in the here and now. We believe in the resurrection of the body. And so what we do with our bodies and how we relate with our bodies matter. But the resurrection reminds us of something that's terribly important about God. We're reminded that God is the God who raises the dead. And we're reminded that the resurrection is about God's commitment to this world. The resurrection is not just some spiritual event that happened to Jesus a long time ago. And the resurrection is not just about some spiritual hope that we might have for the future, but the resurrection is God's commitment to this world, to this material world that God loves, this material world that God created. The resurrection is God's promise to liberate the world and to heal the world. What God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to do for all of us. What God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, God has promised to do for the whole world. That is to liberate it from the power of death, liberate it from all that brings death and destruction and decay. That's why we say we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that God is concerned about bodies. We believe that God is concerned about our material bodies, and we believe that God is concerned about the body of this world. This world that God created. This world that God made good. This world that God loves. The resurrection is about this world. And God liberating and redeeming this world. We're not given a whole lot of information about how God will do all of that. We're not given a whole lot of information about how God will raise our bodies. But we are given some information about what God's coming future for the world will look. We know in that world there'll be no more sickness. In that coming future there'll be no more violence. There be no need for anyone to be afraid. There be no more mass shootings. There be no more hunger. In that coming world, there be no more hospitals because there be no more sickness, no more disease. there be no more heart attacks. In that coming future, in that coming world, there be no more death, no more decay. All of that will be done away with. All of that has already been defeated. It's already been defeated because we believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe that God cares about our bodies and about the future of the world. In Christ's death and resurrection, he has already assumed everything. He has already assumed the whole world into himself. And when Christ was raised from the dead, it was a declaration to the forces and the powers of death that they've already been defeated. The forces and powers of death have already been defeated. The forces and powers of death that seem so powerful in our world, the forces and powers of death that seem to have a lock on our hearts, the forces and powers of death that seem to cloud the future of the world, the forces and powers of death that seem to cause us so much anxiety, those forces and powers of death have already been defeated. And that's what we believe. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in the redemption of this world, the healing of this world. We believe that, contrary to what the world might tell us, contrary to what the world might want to believe, we believe that because we've heard the stunning good news. The stunning good news that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Did you hear me? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And what God has done for the Lord Jesus Christ, he will one day do for you and for me. We believe in the resurrection of our bodies. And that is the stunning good news that we are called to embrace and to share with the world as we live into what it means to be resurrection people. People who know that the forces and powers of death have already been defeated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we live in the midst of the world that has us caught up so much in fear. We often find ourselves locked away in our fears, afraid of each other, afraid of our neighbors, afraid of people who look different from us, afraid to forgive, afraid to share, afraid to live as your loving people. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to believe the stunning good news that you have already defeated everything that causes us to be afraid. Help us not to be afraid of the power of death. Help us to take deep down inside of our hearts that you have already defeated it. Help us to live as your resurrection Easter people. And Lord, we ask that you just send us out into the midst of your world. Help us to proclaim that good news that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. And that for those who are in you, death is not the last word, but the last word belongs to the power of your love that grips each and every one of us, your love that holds all of us in your hands, your love that you have promised that nothing can separate us from. Help us all to take that good news deep down inside of our hearts. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.